God's word from Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
All right, Romans chapter 12. Here we go. A lot of you have heard of the Titanic. It went down April 14, 1912. Most of us say it's the iceberg that brought the Titanic down, which is true. But something happened prior to hitting the iceberg that may have contributed to it being in course to hit the iceberg. And that something was a missing key. David Blair was assigned as the second officer of the Titanic, the second in command. But the day before the Titanic was to take off for the States, he got reassigned to another ship. As the second officer of a ship, he had in his pocket a special key. It was the key to the crow's nest locker. The crow's nest locker housed the binoculars that the man in that little cabin needed to look ahead to help him steer the course for the ship. The binoculars would give the captain of the ship sight further than what he could see with his own eyes. But when David Blair was reassigned to another ship the day before, he forgot to hand the key to someone else that would be in that ship. And so the people steering the Titanic didn't have the long-term perspective that they needed to guide them through the icebergs. It was a missing key that contributed to the lack of sight and that contributed to that boat not reaching its destiny. And as I think about that missing key, I think of what it is that is maybe missing many lives today is the key of surrender. That need to continually surrender ourselves over to his lordship and his ownership. Bible says, I urge you in view of God's mercies to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. He is begging us to surrender. He has spent the first 11 chapters of Romans telling us the glorious good news of the gospel. He says, in light of all that, because of all the mercies of God, therefore, now, totally surrender yourself to the Lord. Ray and I worked hard to put our kids through school. When they were born, we enrolled each one in an RESP, Registered Education Savings Plan. In fact, we believed so strongly in it that at the time when we enrolled them, the money we put into that was more than 10% of our income at that time. We believed so strongly in laying that foundation for our children to be able to go to college and university. When they got there, and after 18 years of putting money every month into each of their plans and etc., at times at great cost, we would look at each other and go, what, this money couldn't do this month for us. But it just went every month they went in there. When they finally got there, we reminded them once in a while not just to goof around all the time. Because we've been there, we know what it's like. College is fun time. We helped them through college, university, or seminary. Reminding them once in a while that we didn't want the sacrifice that we had made to be wasted. We did all this so that you could have a good beginning in life. please don't waste the sacrifice we made for your education. That's what Paul is saying. God did so much. Don't waste what he did for you. Surrender yourselves to the Lord. Offer your bodies. Why body? Usually we talk about, you got to give your heart. You got to give your mind. You got to give your soul to God. Why bodies? Well, our destiny is tied to our bodies. Whatever God wants us to touch, he's going to have to need our hands. Wherever God wants us to go, he's going to need our feet. Whatever God wants us to hear, he's going to need our ears. Whatever he wants us to speak, he's going to need our lips. He says, I want you to offer up, in light of all that God has done, I want you to just offer your entire body as a living sacrifice to God. A living sacrifice is almost like a contradiction in terms. Because sacrifice is usually a dead thing. When you offer a sacrifice on an altar, it was dead. We are dead men walking, dead to sin, dead to selfishness, but alive in him. And really what he's saying, give God all of you. Just give him all of you. That which is holy and pleasing to God, according to verse 1. In other words, when you come to God, you come on his terms, not yours. God, this is what you've done. Now I'm giving myself back to you on your terms, what's holy, what pleases you. We've got some beautiful china, gorgeous china. Don't remember the last time we used it, but it's beautiful. You can come over and have a look if you want. It's not even behind glass. It's behind wood. It's the doors are, we just don't use it. But it's beautiful, gorgeous. Paid for, tucked away. Should some very special occasion come across, we'll probably pull it out. Too often we're kind of like that, you know. We're bought and paid for. Now we're just kind of behind the door. Should there be some real need to come out? Okay. Yeah, we'll. Okay. 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 We'll do that. But just don't expect too much from me. That's not on his terms. That's my terms. I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, the word for worship is not the normal word for worship. The normal word for worship, as we know, is proskuneo, which means to kiss toward, to reverence, to honor. This is actually the word latruo, which has the idea of a religious service. Originally, it meant to work for hire. Someone basically hired you, and you just gave all your energy to the one who hired you. Over time, that word evolved to become more a service to the gods. Paul takes that term and uses it and says, because of all what God has done, what he's working, I want you in turn give yourself totally back to your God, which is your spiritual act of service. See, we think, oh, I worshiped this morning. One in 7 days, not bad. But it's a continual act of service that he's asking for. This isn't about just showing up at church Sunday morning. This is being a moment by moment living sacrifice of service to my God. Real worship is not just the offering of God, an offering to God through liturgy, but of everyday life and service to God. So first of all, you must give God all of you. Secondly, you must give the world none of you. It says in verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And let me define the word world for you. Don't be conformed to this world. The word is used here not so much of a location, but an orientation. For example, we talk about the world of sports. That's a whole orientation. I love the world of sports. I was involved in it last night as I watched our beloved Flames whoop the Winnipeg Jets 6-2. When we talk about the world, the orientation of sports, we're not just talking about just an arena, but we're talking about the whole world, all the fans, everything, the whole orientation of sports. We talk about the world of finance. We're not just talking about literal bank buildings, but the whole system of finances, the world of finance. We talk about the world of fashion. We're not just talking about certain stores. We're talking about the whole orientation of. There's a lot of fashion here today. It's an orientation. We talk about the world of politics. And the world of politics can be very active around your dinner table. Doesn't it just have to be active in Ottawa? It's an orientation. Given here, it refers to a system of life that leaves God out. An orientation in our culture that leaves God out. It says, don't be conformed to that orientation. Do not be conformed. The word conform was used of a potter shaping a piece of clay, giving it an image, whether it's a cup or a plate or a bowl. Don't be shaped into the orientation of a world that does not have God at its center. You know what? That is a constant struggle. You know, we pray for our children that they won't get worldly as they grow up. You know what? You can be a senior and have a worldly orientation toward life. This is a continual thing that we fight with all the time, continually giving ourselves to God in a way that He's always at the center and the worldly orientation isn't at the center of our lives. When a scuba diver goes scuba diving, he has a tank on his back. He's going into the water. So what's he got in his tank? More water? No? Oxygen. The reason he puts that oxygen tank on his back is he's going to spend an extended period of time in a world to which he doesn't belong. You and I don't belong in water. Trust me, I flunked swimming lessons twice, each a week long. Never made it, just flunked, okay? Man was not meant to be in water. But if you want to live in water for 2 hours, that means you're living in a foreign world. You're living in a world you weren't created to live in. Without that tank, that world will kill you. And it won't take very long. Do not be conformed to the worldly orientation, because you don't belong there. But since you still have to live in this world, Make sure you operate in this world with a tank on your back. Make sure you're getting your life support from the world you now belong to while you live in a world you don't belong in. Now, you have to be in it, but you don't belong in it. Your spiritual fuel comes from God to keep you from the orientation of our world, to keep you from succumbing to the pressure of this world. And the further down you go in the water, the more pressure you will find. I don't know this from experience because I'd never go this far. But apparently, if you swim down deep enough, you can get lockjawed. The pressure of water way deep down. Some boats would go down, could collapse from the pressure. But there is one vessel that can go way down and stay down that will not collapse. What is it? A submarine. Why? Because the submarine has been pressured with stuff from the world we get our fuel from. So we can be down there in the world we don't belong. And a submarine has equal to or more pressure than the pressure that's coming at it from the water. So it won't collapse. It's pressurized. The outside is trying to collapse it through pressure. But because the inside has as much pressure or more than the outside coming at it, it can go deeper into that foreign world in which it doesn't belong because it's been pressurized. And the world wants to pressure us, conform us to its own image. And unless you have more of God in you working on the inside, then the pressure that's coming at you, you will collapse. You will give in. You will collapse. Therefore, give God all of you and give the world none of you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word conformed means to be shaped from the outside in. But the word transformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, needs to be shaped from the inside out. As a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. As long as it's a caterpillar, it's on the ground, it's slow, it's slimy. But there's something inside the caterpillar that wants to break out into a new destiny. It doesn't want to live at ground level. It wants to be set loose, to set free, to soar instead of crawl. But that change has to occur because of a transformation on the inside that wants to break out. See, a caterpillar can think, it can dream, it can desire to fly, but unless something happens on the inside, it never will fly. But something has to happen. Now, the word transform, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, is actually in the passive voice. Passive means something done to you, not something you do. If I say, I went to the store, that's being active. If I say, I was taken to the store, someone else was driving, that's passive. Someone else did it for me, took me there. This is in the passive. Allow God to work in you as we surrender, as God works. It's God doing the work. It's God doing the transformation. It's God doing the pressurizing. We do the offering. We do the yielding. He does the pressurizing. He's the one who puts within us that which we need from the kingdom of God to keep us from succumbing to the orientation of the world. The caterpillar doesn't have to try to become a butterfly. It's already built into it to become a butterfly. When the conditions are right, it will happen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what I'm trying to do every Sunday morning. We're trying to renew our minds. That's what we try to do on a daily basis when we read God's Word. Renewing of the mind. The mind is to the soul what the brain is to the body. It's the control center, so we're always feeding our mind with truth. What a terrible thing to waste. This is where the transformation begins, as God fills us with truth and we respond and yield to it. There's one more illustration that I want to share with you of the transformation that takes place. And gentlemen, start your engines. You can quickly come up here. I want you to do something. Okay. I want you to start handing out. Start passing this popcorn around here. Okay. Everybody gets a piece of popcorn. Okay. Just start handing out popcorn. Make sure everybody gets one here. Okay, just grab one and pass it on. Okay, don't eat it right away. I know what you're thinking. Merry Christmas, but in a moment. Okay, got one. Okay. All right. Now, I'm not doing this so we can have popcorn testimony in a moment here. Well, that might be a good thing to have as well. But we want to look at popcorn and use that as a practical illustration to what happens when the Spirit of God is at work in our hearts and the pressure starts to build. And something starts to happen. We don't even have a popcorn popper anymore. I had to go to the store and buy this popcorn just so I could have popcorn. Here's what happens. You take a kernel of popcorn, and it's absolutely amazing. These tiny little kernels, which are so small, you can't even see it from there probably, but trust me, there's a little kernel of popcorn that I have here. And within this little kernel of popcorn, as a droplet of water. Every kernel has a droplet of water. Okay, there's moisture in every popcorn kernel. Now I'll use the microwavable popcorn illustration here. So when you put this into the microwave and start microwaving and waving and doing whatever it does inside, something starts to happen. The heat starts to warm up the moisture and starts to turn that moisture into steam, starts heating it more and more. The steam inside expands, and all of a sudden you start hearing weird noises. Pop, 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 pop. Pop, 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 pop. As you go for your Coke. What happened? The inside overwhelmed the outside. Have you ever tried eating a kernel of popcorn? Once. It's all you need to do once, right? Not a pleasant experience. You would never have thought that an unpopped popcorn was holding all this soft stuff. And this isn't from all kinds of them glued together to become one. This comes from that one little kernel. All this stuff. But once the kernel pops, you can't find the outside shell anymore. Oh, yeah, you look a little bit. There's some residue. You can see, oh, yeah, that must have been. But the inside so overwhelms the outside, you don't recognize it from the just based on the outside anymore. because the inside overpowered the outside. It's as if all this white stuff has been held hostage all this time, because this is the destiny of a popcorn. This is the destiny. It never was meant just to remain a little kernel. That's not the point. It's supposed to become a popped corn. Inside of you is so much that God wants to do in you. But you have to be in the right environment for that to start coming out of you and shaping your life. And as you renew your mind, and as you yield yourselves to God, and you please Him, and He starts to use you, guess what? You're going to start popping. And you're pop number one, pop number two, pop number three. And everybody starts popping as we yield ourselves to the pressure from God. And He overpowers our outside orientation, gives us a whole new identity, and brings us to the destiny He has for each one of us. Is there something inside of you that's still waiting to be released? Have you held back your yielding to God? Do you still look like an unpopped popcorn? Or am I becoming this tasty morsel of food that's a delight to all? I don't know of anybody that doesn't like popcorn. This is awesome. You don't like yours, just give it to someone else. They'll eat it. When other people taste you, do they taste the hard kernel? Or do they taste this? The popcorn of God's unchanging love. Well, you can do with your popcorn whatever you want. You can hang on to it, throw it in the garbage, eat it, give it to someone else. Whatever. I just don't want you to forget this illustration. This is what happens when the Spirit of God starts working within us and you have a yes spirit, you just start popping for Him. And God will change you for His purposes. As I come to a close, I want to share one more illustration with you. My favorite sport, because I belong to the orientation of sports, my favorite sport is football. I love football. Football has a rule book. Every team has the same rule book. Clare's Home Cobras have the same rule book as Pincher Creek, all the other teams. They all have the same rule book from the league. It's the same. Everybody has the same rule book. And in it are all the operating standards and procedures for the parameters of what you can do in football. But there's another book, and it's called the playbook. Lyle Franz spends eternity writing up new plays all the time. A special playbook the other teams know nothing about. Every person has their own playbook. We all share the same rule book. But then as God works in us, we all have a different playbook. Some play guitar, some drum, some play piano, some clean this place, some look after kids, some clean the parking lot. All kinds. Everyone has their own playbook as each one of us pops out to our destiny God has for us. As you follow God's rule book, you will discover the playbook God has for each one of you. Here's what's going to happen. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is what I struggled with when I was younger. This is why I never accepted Christ as my Savior, and I said yes to almost a year of Bible school. I had such a stubborn spirit because I knew the moment I said yes. By the way, I went to Bible school for girls, okay? Just so you know. I wasn't a Christian. I went there because I thought I'd find a hot one, and I did. I wasn't a Christian. But God knew what it would take. He said, okay, that's fine. I can work with that. But he had a big plan for me, my own personal plan, to be yielded to Him, know Him, and He had a destiny for me. But I was scared because I did not think that God's will would be good and pleasing. And, oh, man, it'll be such a sacrifice. It'll be so negative. No. You will find God's will to be good. It'll be the best thing for you. It'll be pleasing. You will actually like what God is doing in you. You will actually like it. You will say, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life. And you will find out what is perfect. You will find God's completeness and your complete destiny in Him. You will complete what God has designed for you. People who have given themselves completely over to Christ have found that God's will became very clear, and it was good, it was pleasing, and it was perfect. It's a hard thing to try to tell people how to find God's will, because there is no cookie cutter for it. But if you're completely yielded to Christ, if you are a living sacrifice, you don't have to seek for God's will. God's will seek you. All I have to do is offer myself a living sacrifice, and He will transform me into His destiny for each one of us. So make sure God owns all of you. The world owns none of you. That He may transform you into the destiny. And every popcorn looks different. There's no two alike. Into the destiny He has designed for you. Let's stand in prayer together. Our Father, it's been a rich morning of testimony, of baptism, obedience, prayer, worship, singing, giving, listening. But it's not complete till there's a yielding, a presenting, an offering of myself to You, a living sacrifice. So, Father, should there be areas in our lives that are still a hard popcorn, I pray that Your Holy Spirit just warm those hearts, those areas of our hearts, God, that we haven't given over to You. Lord, cause us even now to say, Lord Jesus, I give up. I yield this area of my life to You. Or I yield my life to You. I want all of You, all of You in my life. I'm tired of being pressurized by the orientation of our culture and our world, the false hope it gives, the emptiness that also comes with it. And I accept Your mercy. I accept Your offer of forgiveness. I receive your mercy, your forgiveness right now. I look to you to come into my heart and life. Lord, just come. Come live within me. Make me your child. I yield myself completely to you. Oh God, transform me. I'm not living out my destiny. So I look to you to just transform me into the destiny you've designed for me, and that's there available for me. So by faith, I accept it, I grasp it, and I offer myself a living sacrifice to you. So, Lord, thank you for hearing our prayer. Lord, continue to pour on the heat. Warm us in your love. Fill us with your Spirit. Thank you. You don't give up on us. Work a yes Spirit in each one of us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.